about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It's okay. I really don't care about Valentine's.
But you're a lady, right? Why haven't I seen pictures of you as a baby?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. I'm doing so well on my weather reports, especially when it's a bad weather headed your way, like blizzards, hurricanes, rainstorms, and stuff like that. I like to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day of the year 2019. Thank you very much. I'm Frankie McDonald. Valentine's Day 2019. Take care.
I like that romance, all right? I don't like flowers. I don't want a stupid Valentine on Valentine's. I don't want to hold your fat, sweaty hands all the time. And I'm never going to cook for you unless I'm making some for myself.
And now.
Yeah, Valentine's Day broke my heart again.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, no.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning, February 14th, Valentine's Day.
Yes, it is.
It's happening.
Hey, kids.
Hi.
Hey.
Kevin, you were smart to sit yesterday's nut debate out.
Was I?
Because it did rip the nation apart.
It's too political.
I think that's what it is. I think we have to realize that there are some things, abortion, God, religion, mm-hmm. nuts.
Politics.
There are some things that are just too hot.
Yeah.
Just too hot to handle.
Yeah.
And I also
saw that coming, by the way. We've done that before. Mm-hmm. Did you come up with the top five that everyone agreed on?
Oh, no.
That was not possible. No. Right?
Is there a peace in the Middle East?
Okay. All right. I'm just asking.
Right.
Yeah, but there were some people who were living in college straight out of wrong town. I'll tell you that. and I did find out that that I am the walnut of the show, which is that there are a few people who really, really enjoy me.
What the hell is going on?
People who really, really enjoy me. Some who like me in certain circumstances, like candied or in a salad, mm-hmm. and most who think I taste like hot dirt. So at least I found my place in the nut universe.
Yeah.
Wow, there was a lot of insight there.
Yeah. So it was...
Remember how heated Apple Talk got?
Sure.
Times that by 100,
oh,
Kevin.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What a disaster.
It got real serious.
Yeah, people had nut feelings for sure. And in fact, that's why I wanted to do this story today. I know I should be doing something for Valentine's Day, but, the day after Nut Talk, I feel like I need to. This is a minor league baseball team in Connecticut. I think they are affiliated with the Colorado Rockies, which is unusual because they're in Connecticut. But they're the Hartford Yard Goats.
Yard Goats.
I love it.
The Yard Goats, yeah. Hmm. I mean, they're no...
Why not just goats?
They're no rumble ponies.
All right.
They're no baby cakes.
Nothing's baby cakes.
But they are the Yard Goats. Tell me if you guys think that they have gone too far with this one. We had a story not long ago about... Allie, it was you who was tweeting from the flight to Atlanta about... people having nuts on the plane, mm-hmm. and the flight attendant making it very clear there was somebody on the plane with a nut allergy.
Right.
Don't eat nuts. If you brought them on yourself, don't eat them, right? Because mm-hmm. someone could die.
Yeah.
The Hartford Yard Goats have eliminated peanuts and peanut products from the baseball stadium, including Cracker Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cracker Jack.
Cracker Jack.
Yeah. And what do they do?
And peanuts go back. I don't know. I haven't sourced it, but I gotta figure 100 years with baseball.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
You know what? I'm not going back, and I do care.
I'm gonna boycott that team. I'm never gonna see that team play baseball.
The Yard Goats.
The Yard Goats.
How
right.
are you gonna do it?
That's a strong statement, Kevin. Eliminating one item allows more kids to enjoy a baseball game, says team president Tim Rastalli. That's what we're focused on doing because it's the right thing to do. He said he met after last season with two mothers of children with severe food allergies who wanted to learn more about the 200-some food items for sale at the stadium. Is it a baseball stadium or is it a grocery store?
Yeah, they got a lot of food.
Who has 200 different items at a baseball stadium? But their primary concern was peanuts. The Yard Goats held two peanut-free games in 2018, before which the stadium was thoroughly cleaned in preparation for fans with allergies, and they got tremendous feedback from that. So they decided they were going to eliminate peanuts and Cracker Jacks from the ballpark from now on.
Hmm.
Now, is that an overreaction to the fewer than 2% of people in America who have peanut allergies, or is that does that make sense to you guys that you would deprive the other 98% of a baseball staple because of those few people who might not be able to attend otherwise.
I think the problem is the extreme issue they have with it, which is death.
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, I just got peanuts around me, and now I have to go out and just wait it out for a few minutes.
Right, but it's not
die.
Like but it's not. We're not talking about a train station, someplace that they may have to go. They can certainly choose to not go to a minor league baseball game.
Yeah, but I mean, are there other teams that these people in Hartford can go see? I mean, it would be the only baseball game in town. They have no hockey team now.
Plus,
like it's the only sports.
I don't know if you guys know who their mascots are, which is a huge draw. It's,
oh.
Yeah, Chompers and Choo Choo. So you're
the yard goats?
You're denying Chompers and Choo Choo love.
Which they're just two yard goats?
I don't know. It's just Chompers and Choo Choo.
So I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, look.
Couldn't they have a peanut-free section? Like right field, left field, where it's no, it's not.
Oh, the peanut-free pavilion?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think a peanut can go on through the air. Honestly, I think peanut dust can go through the air. That's what we hear on an airplane is, you know, somebody could be sitting 40 rows away and still have a reaction to somebody eating peanuts on a plane.
But I guess if I had heard of instances happening at baseball games since peanuts are so, you know, prevalent there.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, if I was hearing that a bunch of people's throats were closing and they had to use their EpiPen and blah, blah, blah at a baseball game, I'd be like, ban that. But I don't think I've ever heard it.
I haven't either.
I say beat it, kids. I'm sorry. I just do.
It's not their fault.
It's not their fault, but not everything has to be for everybody. This isn't, we're not going to put in ramps because we don't want people from wheelchairs to be able to come to the games.
But you also think that.
That's a different topic. Let's not get sidetracked.
This is fewer than 2% of people have peanut allergies. So how many people total can that be in the fan base area for the Hartford Yard Goats?
I'm out.
It's probably about 6.
Know.
The Yard Goats have gone so far as to even purge Peanuts and Cracker Jacks from their rendition of Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Okay, F this place. I am done. Good
played
night.
During the seventh inning stretch.
Is it go, buy me some sushi and quinoa.
Jensen, you'll be happy to know, they are holding a contest for fans to submit lyrics to replace those words. Some suggestions already include hot dogs and ice cold brew, Dunkin' and Tasty Stacks.
Okay.
Hits and home runs, which is not a good rhyme at all.
Like, no, buy me some sensitivity training. It's also good.
So anyway, as you can imagine, it is quite controversial from people who are like, look, that's half the fun of going to a baseball game is being able to enjoy a big bag of hot nuts.
And let's be honest, Bean, if that was half the fun, Kevin would be right. Baseball blows.
It's more than half the fun. That's what you're saying, right?
In case you're wondering, Peanuts and Cracker Jack were two of the Yard Goats' most popular snack items, but the team expects fans will simply purchase other snacks instead of holding out for peanut products. So
kids are stupid.
Well, that's true. We'll see what happens. The team is still discussing banning other foods as well.
Yes.
So
listen.
No food, no drinks.
Right?
Sounds great.
They do have a very cute logo. It's just of a goat eating a stick.
Well, he can't eat that stick anymore because someone's going to be allergic to stick.
Right.
This is insane. I mean, I'm allergic to ice cream.
Right.
Will it kill me? I got news for you. Sometimes it feels like it will.
Right, but it's not going to.
Might.
But
we don't know.
Not the same.
You want to test it? It sounds like a good bit for the show.
Okay. Yeah.
Let me close with this thought, by the way. We just saw that awful story about, it was just released last week, about that woman who got hit in the head and killed by a baseball at Dodger Stadium last season.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
Right.
So maybe we should eliminate baseball from baseball games.
Oh, yeah. That's the best. Let's eliminate the sport.
Because
everybody wins.
That's dangerous and kills people, but I don't know. The yard goats still seem to be playing baseball there, even though that kills as many people probably as peanut allergies at baseball games.
Well, Chompers and Choo Choo will.
Well, we do have to keep them in mind. We don't want them to lose their jobs.
Oh, they're like big goats. I see them now.
What did you think they were?
No, I thought they were real goats.
Oh.
Like they
really?
Just had, yeah. But they're big.
Some teams
big
do that, sure.
Goats. Yeah. They're very cute. Guys, we should keep this team around. They're great.
How should we do that?
Quinoa and sushi. It's
okay.
Obvious. Yeah.
Right.
Well, Kevin's already boycotting them. He's already decided he's not going.
I'm never going to a game that they play in.
I guess it's up to us to keep them going.
Very cute.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Thanks a lot, Dick. Way to go.
Something called rage yoga.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem great.
Or does it?
Doesn't seem like yoga, I'll tell you that. It's not my understanding of how yoga is supposed to calm you.
So we also have Get Up On This with Jensen, like we do on Thursdays.
Yeah.
We have Cheers with Beer Mug.
Oh, it's a gooder.
Nice. Talking Valentine's Day.
It's a gooder.
comedian Louis Anderson on the show today. Love him so much. And Dr. Drew will also join us today. We will take a 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Quick reminder, K-Rock Storms Bear Mountain. Our friend Nicole Alvarez and the K-Rock promo crew are going to be up there on Saturday, February 23rd. Free K-Rock concert on the deck with Bad Flower and DJ Jeremiah Red. We did a couple of those, didn't we, Kevin?
We did.
Those were fun.
Yeah, very fun, yeah.
And with as much snow as they've had this season, you'll have a terrific time. You can enter to win your lift tickets at krock.com. Allie is here. Time for a first look at what's happening here on this Valentine's Day Thursday.
Well, a lot of people, you know, a little bummed today. They don't have a Valentine. They're feeling kind of lonely. Well, you shouldn't feel that bad if you weren't swindled this year.
I'm sorry?
I mean, feel pretty good about yourself if you weren't swindled, like a lot of people were. Here's the thing.
What does that mean?
The Federal Trade Commission warns that there were more than 21,000 reports of people getting swindled by internet, quote, lovers in 2018. Mm. They had their hearts broken and their bank accounts emptied. In total, about $143 million was lost, and that's more than any other type of consumer fraud that the FTC identified last year.
So these are people pretending to be in a relationship with somebody and getting them, talking them into sending them money, maybe?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The median amount people lost in 2018 was about $2,600. And here's the sad part. That number spiked to over $10,000 for victims age 70 plus.
Aww.
That is so, so sad to me.
The olds.
The olds. They don't know.
They do fall for this more than most.
Absolutely.
They don't know what's going on.
And they're just kind and they think, oh, somebody needs money. And a lot of older people have fallen for that internet email scam where it's their grandson is in London. Oh, my God, I need you to send me this money, blah, blah, blah. And they just think, oh, my God, my grandson needs money right now. I got to do it. It's very sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My grandfather-in-law, he got a phone call that said that someone was in jail in the family.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's rough.
You said mine?
Yeah, I mean, I sent him $1 million.
No, him.
Yeah. I got involved, too.
I heard of an old who got fleeced for $40 for some bogus oil change story.
You've got to move on from that.
That guy was the dumbest guy ever.
Honestly.
At least you're below the median.
Right. At least I only lost $40.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, the guy, the old that I heard about. Yeah, yeah,
Kevin's right, though. It's time. It's time,
time to
let
move
that
on.
Go.
I'm telling you, what did I say at the time? The next day I came in and I said, the last words out of my mouth on my deathbed are going to be, where's the guy with my mother
you
and $40?
This is wasting your life with
this
that.
This is his Kill Bill.
It is. I'm telling you. I'll never let it go.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
But revenge is going to be so sweet when I find
You're
that son of a
bitch. You're never going to find that guy.
You don't know, man.
I do.
I'm never going to stop looking. I'm telling you, I prowl the streets like Batman every night looking for this guy.
No, okay, that easy. Would be amazing.
It's a better comparison than saying Liam Neeson.
Right. Yeah. I did think, should I include it, but I'm carrying a lead pipe? No, I'm not. I'm not carrying a lead pipe.
Oh, dear. So on Tuesday night right here in L.A. at the Microsoft Theater, some serious Motowning went down, you guys. Stevie Wonder up there jamming on a harmonica. John Legend crooning. You got Ciara on stage dancing.
All right.
And you may be thinking, well, why are you telling us about Motown 60, a Grammy celebration? Well, I'm telling you because it's going to be on CBS on April 21st. It's a tribute hosted by Smokey Robinson and Cedric the Entertainer.
And they're from Canada.
No. Oh. No. No, no, no. Neo did the Jackson 5's I'll Be There. John Legend covered Marvin Gaye's Mercy Me. Ciara sported a Rick James-style braided wig with beads during her rendition of Give It To Me, Baby. You've got Diana Ross performing.
I don't hear J-Lo.
J-Lo is not in this.
Well, then it's not Motown. So.
Okay.
Right?
True, true. Good point. A Woman of Motown medley with Meghan Trainor, Fantasia, Chloe and Haley, Tori Kelly, Martha Reeves, Thelma Houston. Okay.
Wow.
I am in.
Not the Monkees.
No, they are not going to be there. And I think there's only two left.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won't be there. Again, April 21st on CBS. It's Motown 60, a Grammy celebration.
Ooh.
Yeah, you're into it.
Very happy.
Guys, it's not bad when you're Billie Eilish and you get the stamp of approval from someone like, Dave Grohl, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty rad. So the Foo what? Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters.
That's our Halloween cover band.
That would be a real great Halloween show.
There goes my zombies.
Yes. I take it back. It'd be the worst show, but the best. He was on stage with Live Nation CEO Michael Rapino for one-on-one discussion, and then the topic came up about their 2018 Rookie of the Year, and he said, "My daughters are obsessed with Billie Eilish. The same thing is happening with her that happened with Nirvana in 1991. People say, is rock dead? When I look at someone like Billie Eilish, rock and roll is not close to dead." Which made me go, Billie Eilish, rock and roll?
I am going to agree with Mr. Grohl on this
one.
I mean, rock and roll has a very wide definition. If you don't believe that, take a look at who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right? It's everybody from balladeers to rappers, okay? So rock and roll is a spirit. And I'm telling you that when you listen to the Spotify New Music Friday playlist, and almost every song on there sounds like it was written by the same people, produced by the same people, and sung by the same people, and then a Billie Eilish song comes up and you go, there's somebody doing something different with an energy and with an excitement and with a point of view that is her own.
Yes.
I agree with Dave Grohl completely. She is something very different than what's going on in most of particularly pop music. I think so.
Calm down.
That's not what I'm saying.
Very illegal.
I agree with Oldie.
Child.
Or old. Which one was it?
Old.
The old.
I really do. I think she's the most exciting new artist in the world right
now. I agree 100%. I think it was just the rock and roll is not close to dead. I was like, rock and roll? Okay. But you think that rock and roll is all of that, and mostly a spirit.
It's a spirit, yeah.
Okay.
I watched her performance from that festival in Germany where she performed Bury a Friend for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, that crowd was going crazy for that.
Oh, she makes people go nuts.
There was so much energy.
Yeah.
That song rules.
It looked like a rock and roll show, I guess is what I'm saying.
Song's a bop.
Oh, no, that song is a bop. Yeah. I've already certified it here.
Yeah, definitely. All right, then you're all on board with Dave Grohl. Stamp of approval, Billie Eilish. It is written.
If you get Dave Grohl's, you know, approval, that's, you're good. You're done.
If Dave Grohl was like, that's a mighty good tortilla lady, I'd be like, I am now the tortilla lady. That's all I do. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why I said tortilla. That's
definitely not a bad example, is it?
It's not great.
Okay.
Yeah. Some birthdays for you. We've got actress Meg Tilly, singer from Matchbox 20, Rob Thomas, Simon Pegg. Love him so much. Actor Freddie Highmore, Teller from Penn and Teller. He's the one that doesn't talk much.
Right.
Okay. And Pat O'Brien. We got to have some Pat O'Brien drops.
Oh, we'll find some.
Okay.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 627.
They got ripped off at the Grammys, but we're still playing Local H, still showing them love on this show.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, get up on this because it's Thursday, our weekly visit with Dr. Jupinski on the program later on today. We got a special Valentine's Day edition of Cheers with Beer Mug. And speaking of the holiday today on February 14th, I've got a little something that's going to help the, you know, I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Sure.
A little something that's going to help the men out there with their ladies.
Says the guy who hates Valentine's Day.
Right.
I'm Mr.
What
Romance.
What could go wrong?
You guys know that.
Sure.
That's coming up in about 15 minutes. First, though, Allie came across something yesterday that sounds too good to be true. What's going on?
So we all know there's different kinds of yoga, right? You've got the Bikram yoga. You've got the hot yoga. Recently, that goat yoga was kind of a big deal.
My wife is currently doing pregnancy yoga.
Oh, yeah. That's
real too.
Big. Okay. Absolutely. But a lot of times when you think of yoga, you think of, you know, serenity. You're channeling your inner zen, correct?
Calming. Yeah, it's calming.
Yeah. You don't often think of this.
Rid of all tension in your head, your neck, your jaw, everything. Let it go.
Yeah, let it effing go.
Love
people
it.
Yelling out expletives because this is called rage yoga, you guys.
Rage
yoga. I'm going to let a woman named Ashley Dusich explain.
We're all angry about something, and we all have been holding on to an F-bomb for a little bit too long.
Yeah.
So that's what this does. It allows you to have a safe space to let go of your anger and frustration and rage in a healthy way.
And if you're thinking, listen, this can't be real yoga, the official Rage Yoga website says that instructors have completed a certification program and have a minimum of 200 hours of yoga instructor certification. Here's why I love this class.
Okay.
They're told to just let things out. Anything you're mad at, just yell it out. My favorite that I heard, all I asked was for you to do the dishes. Is something yelled during rage yoga?
You know what's funny is that that technically might help.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You get it out, you're stretching, you feel good after. And by feel good after, well, that's when the beer is.
Oh, I'm
you
sorry?
You get to have cold beer. Beer. You can also take beer breaks during this.
Okay.
Like, if you're just yelling about something, you're like, ooh, a little parched, grab a beer.
This is my kind of exercise.
This is amazing. I am so into that. But maybe you're one of those people that wants to try out yoga unencumbered by societal norms. Just really get back to your primal nakedness. And for you, that's naked yoga. And sure, could you do it in the comfort of your own home, naked, just all by yourself? Tons of instructional videos. Absolutely, you can do that. But wouldn't it be more fun to take group classes that are co-ed?
Hello.
Hello.
It depends on where you sit in the class, I think.
Yeah, yeah. If you're curious, there are locations here in L.A. Go to nakedyoga-la.com. There's private 101 classes if you just want to start slow. There's also workshops and then, of course, the group classes, which are co-ed. They take place in Venice at a place called the Love Dome. $25. You must pre-register and prepay because, as you can imagine, these classes do fill up. However, they need you to bring your own yoga mat.
Sure,
of course.
Because
I don't want the one that somebody just used.
No, you do not. hey, also bring a towel.
Oh.
To wipe away anything left over that might be there. And just, you know, some hydration as well. And in case you're wondering, well, do I have to be totally naked? Up to you. They said a lot of people start out the class as fully dressed. And then by the end of it, buck naked.
That co-ed has to be 99% sausage.
I would think.
Yeah, okay.
I just know if
I pay for that class and everybody's not naked,
right,
it turns into rage yoga. That's what I know.
I love it. Well, this got us thinking about all the different kinds of yoga that maybe nobody has even thought about that's going on right underneath our noses. We had no idea. What do you have, Jensen?
I found laughter yoga.
Oh.
What?
This is a real thing. Yeah, it's exactly what it sounds like. It started in Mumbai with just five people in the mid-90s, and it's now spread across 50 countries.
Whoa.
And without trying to sound too judgmental, I think it is very stupid. Basically, it has very little to do with yoga outside of some simple arm stretching and like walking around. It's just people kind of moving around. These are clubs where people meet up and basically on the count of three just start fake laughing.
What?
Yeah, very loudly. Very, like, whoa! Very, it's like their therapy because they say that your body doesn't know the difference between real laughing and fake laughing. I guess it is scientific because I've seen interviews with doctors and stuff saying it.
Is that accurate, really, medically?
That's what they said in these interviews I watched. And so basically these people go in there and they make faces and pantomime and all while breathing, dancing, and clapping. And the thing is they just scream laugh. And they're usually there for some sort of trauma that they can't laugh about, right? So like people go, it's like therapy, but done through yoga. And so let's listen to one class. This is the craziest clip I've ever found on the internet, just so you know. Let's listen to one class where the participants introduce themselves and explain why they're there. Then they have a positive mantra that they repeat.
My name is Gita. And I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Very good, very good.
No, not very good.
No, that's, oh, you don't understand what she said.
Wow.
I'm in, I know that.
Wow.
Then I swear to God, the next one is, you know, says their name and then says, and I recently was diagnosed with breast cancer, and then everyone laughs
again.
Oh,
my God.
And then they chant very good, very good. Oh,
February 14th, the hottest Thursday of the year.
It's a whole day about sex, romance, and sexy romance. So happy Valentine's Day.
Sexy romance, you guys.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about it yet this year, but I was just wondering if mixtapes are at all a part of your Valentine's night plans? Jensen, you seem like the kind of guy who would put together a playlist for his lady.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Spotify does it pretty well for me if I just type in what I want it to be nowadays. Mm-hmm. But I'll put love into the search.
Oh. Sure. Allie, have you ever swooned over a young man presenting a mixtape to you?
Many times, yeah.
Oh, is that right?
I think that really says something.
It's very personal.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And it can be effective. And I was thinking about this yesterday because I saw a list that was published by TheKnot.com, which, as you know, is probably the most popular wedding site
Never
in America.
Heard of it.
It featured my wedding.
And they were doing a list of the best love songs of all time per category. And I was really surprised. And I think a lot of people get stuck in when they start thinking about love songs. They get stuck in I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston. They get stuck in Stand By
Me. Yeah, there's the top five or whatever.
Yeah, Unchained Melody, When a Man Loves a Woman, Your Song by Elton John. And I guess the reason I'm here today is I'm telling you, gentlemen, that it is time to upgrade your mixtape game.
Okay.
So I pulled a few songs that are kind of in the rock and indie world here that if you're not putting these songs on your mixtape, you're not doing it right.
Okay.
And Allie, I want to run these by you
okay. And
see if you agree.
All right.
You know, get the moist meter going and you tell me if these songs are going to be effective or not on a mixtape.
So I just never need to hear that again.
I just have a handful here, but you tell me if you agree or disagree. If you're a young man out there thinking about putting some work in on a mixtape for tonight, do you go with Bright Eyes, First Day of My Life?
I thought I'd let you know. Yeah, these things take forever. I especially am slow. But I realized that I need you, and I wondered if I could come home.
Is that the right sexy vibe for Valentine's Day?
It's not, but I love that song. But
yeah,
that's
really
not getting me in the mood at all.
If you want the date to end with slit wrists.
Yeah. I mean, that's
too
like,
sad. Okay.
Yeah, if you're
too
making sad appetizers, you could play that.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed that a lot of people are playing that at their weddings and receptions lately. First
but
day of my life.
But doesn't he say, I hope it's okay if I come home?
Yeah. It's
that seems like.
The
okay,
song
well,
takes some turns.
Okay.
This is why I went to Allie, because right, we're refining the list here. Mm-hmm. All right, here's the one that's up next. I think this one does it. You tell me if I'm wrong.
No love, no glory. No hero in her sky. Can't take my eyes off of you.
This is the classic Damien Rice song?
Sure.
Listen to this.
Never heard it.
Listen to this.
Okay.
Can't take my eyes off of you.
Now, don't the ladies melt when they hear that combination of that guy's voice and the violins? Yay or nay?
Yeah, I hear any sort of string instrument, be it a viola or a cello, and I'm ready.
That's all it takes?
I'm telling you.
But you don't think that's like a corny, intense, like we're eating and I go, babe, I'm going to go, let me play some music. And it's like, I want to be with you. And I'm just staring at you eye to eye.
If it's Damien Rice singing to me, it's different.
He's a nice Irish boy.
Yeah.
And by the way, the song is called The Blower's Daughter. So I think, you know, it definitely has Valentine's Day all over it. All right. How do you feel, Allie, if somebody's making you the mixtape for the holiday and they include some ladies? Should they all be from men
No.
Ladies are fine,
no,
right?
No, it should be from my point of view for some of them, sure.
All right. Well, here's a very popular lady song that I think a lot of people love on Valentine's Day.
Too many lovers in one lifetime ain't good for you. You're dreaming like a vision in the night. Someone that is standing behind you. I ain't no vision, I'm the girl who loves you inside and out.
All right, how about Miss Feist there with Inside and Out? How do you feel?
Never heard that song and don't want to again.
Really?
Yes,
huge.
I've
huge
never
top
heard
10
that
song.
Kevin?
But it's from the girl's
Chip?
Point of view.
None
so
of us
if
have
it's
heard of it.
The guy putting together
yeah,
the mixtape,
you put
the
it on. You just go, I want to play a song that's from something I've been thinking about. And then Jensen, it's just clearly from her.
You know the Feist Inside and Out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, love that
huge,
song.
Huge hit.
I like that
all right
song.
I lost Allie on that one. I think I'm going to win her back with this one.
Lights you.
Jensen just looked over and he's like, why would anyone want that? Fix you. That's awful. That's what I got from your face right there, right?
I just think it's sad and it's not an uplifting song. I like the song, but it's not like, let's make love.
We all need some fixing. And if we're honest with ourselves, that song will fix us. However, I'm more of a scientist girl when it
comes
to Coldplay.
When it comes to Coldplay?
Yeah, but I do. I'm boning you if you play me that song, for sure.
Which is the point of this exercise, by the way. I think that song is about, we know what it's really about, which is it was written for Chris Martin's wife's lost a relative or something like that. But I think what it's about to most people is, none of us are perfect, but I am going to be here to help you in any way that I can. That's my read, is I'm here to fix whatever you need.
But also,
you know what I mean?
You're broken as hell.
But right. Also, you're broken as hell.
Right.
All right, we just got time for a couple more here talking about Valentine's Day mixtape.
Bean, I'm just going to ask you right now.
Sure.
If this list doesn't include, I'm sorry, Shimmy Shimmy Ya, this is not a list.
That was my problem with mixtapes. I don't think women wanted to hear my Gravedigga song.
Oh, see, I want to hear, oh, baby, I like it raw.
Yeah.
No?
Well, this is... Okay. This is more of the romance part.
Oh, got it.
Not the warm-up part.
Okay.
All right, couple more. Is this one too Grey's Anatomy'd out to be effective anymore, or does the sentiment still come through from Snow Patrol?
If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world?
How about that? Does that work at all?
It doesn't.
Is that a don't stop till the panties drop?
No.
Did you say it doesn't?
It doesn't, but I'll tell you this. I do not turn that song off when I hear it.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what.
Okay, but it's not romantic.
But it's not a romantic. No, I immediately think of Grey's Anatomy. And I don't want to think about doctors I can't have.
too much association. That's the problem with a song that gets...
Right.
Okay. All right. That's the last one I have for here. But Jensen, you tell me that you've also given the same topic some thought, and you have a surefire Valentine's Day killer.
Yeah. Mine is basically something that my wife and I both love, and I think that other people, if you play it, you'll get into. So this is from my mixtape.
How many shrimps do you have to eat before you make your skin turn pink? Eat too much and you'll get sick. Shrimps are pretty rich.
Yeah, when the beat drops.
Imagine, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I see what I did wrong on my songs.
You and your lady.
Yeah.
Eating shrimp.
Allie, you all primed?
I gotta go to the bathroom.
Get the bubble bath ready.
And now it's time for a moment with Allie McKay.
I think maybe, what's that song about the ambulance and the slowness and sad?
What's Allie talking about?
Allie's just saying words now.
What just happened?
I'm just saying words.
That was a moment with Allie McKay.
She was trying to come up with Snow Patrol.
Yeah, that was the first time I ever filled in on Kevin and Bean.
Oh, did you know the rule that we weren't supposed to help you?
I didn't think it applied to me.
Of course it
applied. I was filling in. I was doing a niceness, doing you guys a solid.
You were?
Yeah.
And that's how we respond to you.
You hung me out dry.
And that's also how we knew you were one of us.
Yeah. Oh, man, all right. The cool part is seeing how much you've developed and grown.
How dare you?
Jensen has Get Up on this because it's Thursday coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Allie's here with What's Happening.
Well, this was not something people wanted to see yesterday. Ryan Adams, singer-songwriter, had an expose, an investigation in the New York Times that said he used his musical success to lure, manipulate, and emotionally abuse 7 women, including an underage teenage girl and his former wife, This Is Us star Mandy Moore. So the Times described a pattern of him offering career opportunities to young female artists, then pursuing sex. He would turn domineering and vengeful, jerking away offers of support when spurned, emotional and verbal abuse and harassment in texts and on social media.
Wow.
It is quite a read, I will say that. The Times corroboration included family members, friends, and Adam's own correspondence. They said they have thousands of text messages back and forth. And the thing that really concerned people was a girl named Ava, who he first reached out to when she was 14 years old and a promising bass player. Their online communications about music turned sexual, and they eventually spoke in video calls in which Ryan Adams exposed himself discuss sex with her. And there was all of these texts about him fretting about her age. And she would sometimes say she was 18, sometimes just wouldn't answer.
Did you say she was 14?
She was 14 at the time. And then when she was just about to turn 16, he had sent, "I never see pics of you anymore." And then days later, he wrote to her, "If people knew, they would say I was like R. Kelly, LOL." So he knew something was wrong with this whole situation. The interesting thing was Mandy Moore was quoted in this article. And it was really sad because when you think about Mandy Moore's career, she just stopped music.
Yeah, it
altogether.
Does seem that way.
And the other woman included was musicians Courtney J. and Phoebe Bridges. But Mandy Moore, who was married to Ryan Adams for 6 years, said that Adams was very controlling, especially when it came to her music career. "He would always tell me, 'You're not a real musician because you don't play an instrument.'" She said that he was psychologically abusive and he's the reason she hasn't released music in 10 years. And this girl, Ava, who is now 20, walked away from music as well.
Wow.
So there's no telling how many people. This is rampant in any entertainment industry, obviously.
Sucks. I'm a fan of his music. Mm-hmm. It's awful. He's awful.
Yeah.
He's awful.
Canceled.
He has released a couple statements on his Twitter. He said, "I'm not a perfect man. I have made many mistakes. To anyone I have hurt, however unintentionally, I apologize deeply and unreservedly. But the picture that this article paints is upsettingly inaccurate. Some of its details are misrepresented. Some are exaggerated. Some are outright false. I would never have inappropriate interactions with someone I thought was underage, period."
But he did, and the New York Times saw the text messages that proved it.
Yeah.
He'll probably say he didn't think it was real and blah, blah, you know.
Yeah.
Canceled.
Thank you.
Not a good situation at all.
What did I text you yesterday, Allie? Who's going to be left at the end of all of this?
Tom Hanks.
Just Tom Hanks.
Well, Weird Al.
Weird Al. What is wrong with you?
He's your hero.
He is my hero.
Well, then just go along with Jensen.
And he's never said an unkind word or done an unkind thing in his entire life, I'm sure.
Right. But we'll find something, is what you're saying.
I'm saying I only have faith in Tom Hanks in this instance. I think he's going to be the last man standing.
Okay.
Everyone else, every other man will be canceled, but Tom Hanks will be fine.
Okay.
It's very sad, though, as Jensen said. I mean, I've been a fan since his first record. I listen to so much Ryan Adams music, and I'm so excited about all the new music he has coming out this year. It just ruins all that, and I just couldn't feel worse for those women. I mean, to be so upset, understandably, by how they were treated by somebody that they, you know, respected, looked up to as a mentor in the music industry, that you don't play music anymore.
Yeah, your dream, your whole life.
It takes away your dream.
It crushes your dream. That's just so sad.
Yeah. If only someone had told you every time you bring up Ryan Adams how creepy and weird he was.
I feel like you're talking about yourself.
To that person that said, ew.
I don't really listen to women.
Understandable. Understandable. I'm glad we got through that whole story, and that is the takeaway.
That's the takeaway.
So disgusting. You guys, I am going to play something for you next hour that I'm going to tell you right now is going to make you laugh, and I'm going to tell you it comes from Amy Schumer.
All right.
And you're going to stick around for it because maybe you don't believe me.
All right.
It's really good. It tickled me. Hey, some birthdays for you. We've got Teller. We've got Rob Thomas.
Oh, that guy's smooth.
Yep.
See, because the name of the song is Smooth.
Theater. Freddie Highmore. Simon
Pegg. Guy's smooth.
Nope,
doesn't work for everyone.
Okay, not right. So much.
Okay. Only Rob Thomas.
Simon Pegg and Pat O'Brien.
I'll have some Pat for you next time.
Oh, my God!
Hey, get us out on Smooth.
That's
what's happening. 106.6. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's. Happy Valentine's. Happy Valentine's. Have a Valentine's Day.
It's not done?
You.
Big finish. So, Kevin, you're telling me that we're offering that as a free download for somebody to give to their significant other for Valentine's
Day. Yeah, the first time we played that, a listener tweeted and said, hey, we need a downloadable version of that so I can make it my ringtone.
Mm. So, I'm very concerned for that person.
So where does one go for the Armenian Comedian Magic?
You can go to my Twitter, at the Kevin Ryder with a Y. It's I put it up last night. And it's you can download it from that link on SoundCloud.
Nice.
Okay. Do we have a SoundCloud page as well?
Yes, that's where it comes from. Yeah, I think.
Fantastic. So. All right. So happy Valentine's Day from the Armenian Comedian. And I'd like to point out, not having him on to give love advice today.
Right.
So we're doing you a favor. Speaking of Valentine's Day, hey Beer Mug.
Hey you guys, how you doing?
Happy VD.
What? Oh, wait a minute.
Let's talk cheers.
You have something special for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I went to my local watering hole, as I usually do every week, almost every week when I try to get out. And I interviewed the people there about their thoughts on Valentine's Day and the history, how their Valentine's Days have been, what presents they received.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Most of the people there are single?
Yes.
Well, they're in a bar every night.
That's what I'm saying.
And it might have not been the most positive sample size that I took about the holiday, but we're going to find out what they thought of the lovely holiday of Valentine's Day in this edition of Cheers with Beer Mug.
Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
Asking questions with no shame.
What are you?
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh!
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow.
Now, mugs sometimes will drink.
Sometimes.
Along with the people that are there.
Yeah.
Well, when in Rome.
Right.
Most of the time, as the night goes on, he gets more drunk.
Yeah.
Mugs starts out drunk.
Yeah.
Which I love about him in this one.
All right. Gonna do the rounds. It's gonna be hard to ask the Valentine's Day question, being that there's mostly all sausages in here.
What? Why did I sound like that?
You're from Chicago.
But I'm going to try to make it work because I'm already pretty buzzed.
You know, Valentine's Day was created by the corporations, man. I mean, like, who needs a greeting card to tell someone how much they love them? Like, just appreciate the person every day and, like, don't take the little things for granted. Valentine's Day. But you still got to get your girl some
What do you think of Valentine's Day as a holiday overall? Do you think it's an important day of expressing love and gratitude to a significant other?
Absolutely not.
What?
Why?
It's a Hallmark holiday.
What do you think of Valentine's Day? Hold on, let me take that again. What do you think of Valentine's Day as a holiday?
I think you should not cut the flowers. Save the candy because you're going to get her fat. And then you're going to give her a gift like I got one year. A book.
What it was?
The name of Beyond Cellulite.
You got a Beyonce book?
No, Beyond Cellulite.
Oh, Beyond Cellulite. What would your candy heart say?
Be mine.
Be my Frankenstein.
Are we doing a variation of Alice Cooper's Feed My Frankenstein there?
I think so. I think I was doing.
I don't think he knew.
You are loaded.
Yeah.
Be my Frankenstein, and the rest will follow.
That's right.
Oh, that was a good one. D-Train, what do you think of Valentine's Day?
Oh, I think it's a great, fantastic, and wonderful world to be in when you're lost in the misery of the kindness of this so-called valley. But, you know, all Grady's will bring you up. All you can be, it's like wearing an S around your chest. You're like Superman.
Yeah.
We're just feeling good. It's back here, back in 2019. Giving it up, Beer Mug right here. We living exciting.
So what do you think of Valentine's Day?
Well, you know, it's just another day.
I think it's a made up, stupid holiday, and that I should be treated well every day of the year.
Whoa,
that's what I think.
And what's the best Valentine's Day gift you've ever received?
Somebody that left.
The man that I would love to be my Valentine, Monty. How the hell have you been, my man?
My brother, I've been all right. Don't let me down. I love you, bub.
Give me your thoughts on Valentine's Day, babe.
Oh, man. I think Valentine's Day is a fantastic day, man. I just make these beautiful flowers for this beautiful Valentine right here.
The kind that doesn't die.
You just made those napkin flowers for this lovely young lady right here?
Absolutely.
You are a Casanova.
I love you.
Bonnie, that's why I love you.
I love you. Cheers.
Cheers.
That is the greatest love story of the 21st century, Beer Mug and Bonnie. Why don't you guys, A, get a room, and B, just get married?
I would love to.
Well done. Thank you.
Oh. He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came. Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Another day, another invitation for you to see Vampire Weekend at the Hollywood Bowl. We got your tickets coming up at 9 a.m. this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. That show is October 2nd, and you qualify to see them at the Mad Cool Festival in España. That's a four-night hotel stay, round-trip airfare, and more. K-Rock Wheels Up 2019 Destination Number 5 happening at 9 o'clock this morning on K-Rock. Right now, though, Thursday means Jensen, and get up on this.
Get up, get on up,
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 on this.
It is my service to weekly get you up on something that I think that you should know about, something that I think doesn't necessarily have all the attention it deserves, mm-hmm. And I am so excited. But let me set the mood a little better here for what we're getting into.
All right.
It's right. Wrestling time, guys.
Yeah. All right.
I am so thrilled to get you up on a local wrestling event.
Okay.
That I think should have not only like a full house, but like a line around the block.
Okay.
I have a guest here this week next to me. This isn't Beer Mug or Omar in case any of you had bad vision issues. This is wrestler Joey Ryan, who is here to talk to us about bar wrestling.
Is this what we saw?
No, this is
in Atlanta.
So Joey, you're knowing into it.
Sorry.
I forced Kevin to go to an actual bar in Atlanta where people wrestled without a ring, and we almost got punched in the face numerous times.
And it was one of the best things I've ever seen.
Similar to an extent, but this is bar wrestling that started in 2017 around June in Baldwin Park. There is a full bar, hence the name.
Okay,
but there is also a ring in there. Correct.
Yes, as opposed to the
yes.
You know, I was actually on the Atlanta show the next day.
That's right.
I was on the next day with a ring.
Well, as you know, K-Rock had no budget for us to stay. So I'm sorry that we were unable to come.
Joey, we literally went to Atlanta and had to come home before the Super Bowl.
Yeah. They did not offer us tickets nor a hotel. We thought about sleeping outside. But for starters, there's no fancy pyro at bar wrestling.
Right.
There's no backstage vignettes. There's no true kind of drama unless you see it as every like match is full of its own drama. There's usually a good guy and a bad guy, and that's where it lives just that day in the ring. So what? Explain to people how this came up.
So I wrestle quite frequently in Japan, and I went to and I wrestled on a show called Tavern Wrestling, which was the theme was cheap tickets, cheap drinks, and everyone like a party with a wrestling ring and matches, and it was the most fun show I've done in Japan. Because the Japanese audience is a little bit conditioned differently, and they're a little bit more respectful, they're a little bit more quiet and reserved than like an American audience.
That doesn't sound good.
But it's because they treat it more like a sport than entertainment there. So mm-hmm. But this tavern wrestling was the most like an American audience. I was there. They were just Japanese fans were drunk. They were yelling. They're it's a big party, and I was like, I need to bring this. I need to steal this idea.
Sure,
like,
but yeah, we know all about that.
Yeah. I need to stand on the shoulders of giants and steal this idea.
Yeah,
and bring it to America. So I looked into a few places that I knew held wrestling before. I found the Baldwin Park venue, and I just talked to them, and they were cool with it, and they wanted to do it.
And what makes it different than you would say the WWE Raw that people see on like Monday nights?
Well, like you mentioned, there's no storylines. It is really like a party with like, oh, by the way, there's wrestling also at, with you're hanging out, your friends, you're drinking.
Very close to you too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like you have great vision of seeing the fight in the ring.
Right. There's no barricades.
Right.
Everyone's all the way up to the ring. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have to go home and, you know, process a storyline. You don't have to go home. You don't have to think about these characters on your off days, or you know, if you miss a show, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, you can just bring someone on one night.
Yeah, you don't have to like follow along with the characters.
It is, I'm telling you, it is for casual fans more than anything. Like mm-hmm. it's basically a night you could take all your friends or even any significant other that isn't into wrestling. They would be into this specific.
Have
event.
A drink or ten, and then and then you're ready.
How about the rules, Joey? What are the rules you can and can't do in the ring?
I mean, that's really up to interpretation. Like, there's no...
That's a terrible answer.
I mean, can I kick you in the nuts?
Well, I mean, as a fan, you don't want to engage in the wrestling.
That's the one rule. Don't get involved.
But you know what, though? Like, the fans are really right up to the ring. So, but they're fans that know and have been to one or two are conditioned to know that sometimes the action does spill outside and they kind of part ways, like parting of the seed.
Right. But I'm asking what the rules are for you, the wrestlers. Like, what can you not do to your opponent?
Well, there's really none.
Okay, there you go. That's what I was looking for.
Right.
The referees are sort of just accoutrement. They're just there for the looks.
The referees are there to I guess count the pinfall at the end, but
yeah.
There's not much like at a WWE show. You know, they have like countouts and disqualifications, and you can't use weapons. And that you know at these shows,
lame.
Right?
Yeah.
At these
but this
shows,
isn't like backyard greater
no,
blood.
No, no, no,
no.
There's
I
not,
don't want
there's,
people to no, think that
nobody's bleeding.
No.
Nobody's you know dying. Nobody's breaking limbs or anything
and
like that.
The crowds are bonkers. They're like one of the most engaged wrestling audiences I've ever seen because everyone's having such a good time, and you never know who's going to show up. Like comedy is such a big part of bar wrestling. Like mm-hmm. kind of the together laughing. And one time you guys had Macaulay Culkin come out.
What?
Yeah. Macaulay Culkin's a big wrestling fan and he came out to a show and I actually pitched some ideas to like, so we have a mutual friend and the friend contacted me and said, hey, Macaulay Culkin's in town. He wants to come to the show. Is that
sure,
okay?
Sure. Yeah. We all get that email.
Right. Yeah. Let's bring him on. And then like the day of the show, I talked to my friend. I said, hey, ask him if he wants to do anything on the show. And he did. And he was cool with it.
And he basically did Home Alone pranks.
Right. Because it was a December show. So it was a Christmas theme. It was a Christmas theme show anyways. Yeah. And so we had like the bad guys come out the beginning and they like, you know, talk trash on the audience and mm-hmm. then oh look Kevin McAllister's here and they talk trash on Home Alone and
awesome.
And then when they wrestled in the show later on that night, you know, he did the thing where he threw like a bucket of marbles and the bad guys ran and slipped and then, you know, and he got on the top rope and swung a bucket down and the bucket hit the bag, you know, like
and that's just, it's I'm telling you, it's almost like a comedy show with
this kind of stuff that you say is not for heart necessarily
it's not
for
at
hardcore
all.
Fans
no you don't
doesn't matter.
Here's
doesn't matter.
My question. I demand a wrestler has a signature move. Like, Rikishi, I love me a stink face.
Right.
Do you have a wrestling move that's your signature, and does it involve your penis?
My reputation precedes itself. Yes, and that was another thing that happened, developed in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I do have the world's strongest penis. And
okay.
And it does...
Way to bury the lead, Joey.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it does. I do use it as a weapon, and it mm-hmm. can flip my opponents or suplex my opponents.
So if somebody grabs your junk, they are flipped in the air.
Yes, they'd be. They,
that is just bad news for them.
That is an insane
penis. There's a magnetic pull that they cannot let go.
As you can see, it's all canon.
Yeah.
It's all very serious. Everything has to be physically correct to be
I
in bar
love
wrestling.
It. Okay.
And he went viral with that. And you mm-hmm. have a sponsor now, right?
I did get sponsored by youporn.com.
Amazing.
Big
yeah.
time.
There's a two-night event. It's called Three's Company. It's February 20th at the Bootleg Theater in Hollywood and the 21st at the American Legion Hall in Baldwin Park. It's 12 teams over two nights. It's intergender, women and men wrestling each other. Here's a couple of my favorite parts of it. One, our friend Joey, Kevin and Bean's resident wrestler, is teaming up with a guy named Zach Gowen and another guy named Gregory Iron. They're called the Handicapped Superheroes because Zach Gowen has a prosthetic leg and Gregory Iron has CP, cerebral palsy. What do you have?
What is happening?
Nothing.
He has a penis.
I have a super
right. That is a handicap.
Power.
I can understand. There's a team called the Body Guys. There's a team called Land of the Lost that includes Jungle Boy, who, coincidentally, is Luke Perry's son. Also, a team called Sex Violence, another one called Two Butchers the Blade. That involves Andy Williams from the band Every Time I Die, which some K-Rock fans may know. Another team called Heart Eyes Emoji. So it's basically 12 three man or woman teams.
Right, trios.
Trios. Yeah. That's a good, better word for it. You should do radio. And so they basically are wrestling each other. Then over the two nights, it's a tournament?
Yeah, so the first night will be six opening round matches, mm-hmm. Where the teams, you know, each single elimination. And night two will be the semifinals and the finals, which will be a three-team match. Hence the theme of the trios and the threes company.
All right. We're out of time, guys. Two quick things real quick. First of all,
take my money now.
And second of all, where can people go? What's the simplest way people can go to get more information or to buy tickets?
Social media, at Bar Wrestling on Twitter and Instagram, and at Bar Wrestling LA on Facebook. I don't have a website.
No, that's very cool.
It's a passing fad.
Yeah, obviously.
Sure.
Yeah.
Websites are for pussies.
It's $25 online, so get them online, but it's $40 at the door. And guys, I'm telling you, Bar Wrestling is a very fun time. Go out there and do it if you're in LA. And also, that was my get up on this.
Get up, get on up on this.
Get up.
Louis Anderson coming back on the show, you guys.
Woo!
Allie, have you recovered from his last visit?
It was so joyful.
Sweet,
everything
wasn't it?
About him and his role on Baskets, as Caroline Baskets, it's one of my favorite things ever.
Yeah, he's a showbiz legend, comedy legend as well. So Louis joins us just after 8 a.m.
But we didn't talk to him about Splash last time.
Yeah, are we on a united front here that we're definitely going to bring up Splash?
I think so, for sure.
Okay.
How do you think Louis Anderson, for folks who don't know, Splash was the celebrity diving show that he was the host of? Or
no,
contestant?
No,
he
was a contestant. Yeah.
Contestant, because he had a fear of water. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you think he feels about that show now, though? Is it embarrassing for him if we bring it up?
I think he seems like the kind of guy that doesn't get embarrassed by much. Like, he probably laughs at it.
All right.
Same as last words.
And that was Mr. Anderson's last appearance on the Kevin Abeed Show. Glad you enjoyed
it. Give
it
a try.
First, though, it is Valentine's Day. We've spent a lot of time talking about various aspects of the holiday today. And as many people pointed out in the Cheers with Beer Mug a few minutes ago, it is a holiday created by Big Hallmark, so don't fall for it. But if you're going to, and you're looking for a creative gift, look no further than Jensen Karp's wife, Danielle, because she really has hit the sweet spot for Valentine's Day gifts, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
My wife.
This is very funny. We share an eBay account, because that's what you do when you're married, right?
Okay.
And I noticed that we were watching something. Okay. It just was under watching. And the thing that we were watching as an account together.
Okay.
Was this. Side-by-side cemetery plots. And I was like, what?
Oh, no.
And so...
Yeah!
Side-by-side cemetery
Somebody's
plots.
Somebody's planning a murder-suicide.
That is very romantic.
At least you'll go together.
That's true. I mean, I guess if you saw this on Casey Anthony's computer, it would have been an easier arrest. All right. Spaces 3 and 4, lot 5036 in the exclusive Eternal Love section of Forest Lawn, Hollywood Hills. These two plots have been in our family for decades, but the family has left the LA area. Current family holds clear title to both plots. I'm the authorized seller on behalf of the family. $15,000.
I had no idea that people would sell cemetery plots on eBay.
So what I'm saying is, she may have bought this or was looking to get something similar for my Valentine's Day gift today.
Oh, wow.
So I'm wondering...
Is that a great gift for you?
Okay, at first I was startled. At first I was like, what is going on?
Right.
But then I realized, Danielle, who we've talked about many times, is not very... Like, she likes sitting in silence. It's very on brand for her to be like, no, this is where we're going to be silent forever together. That's what she's into. That's what she's into.
So she's silent. She wants you to be silent.
Yes.
And she can't wait till you're both dead.
Right. This is where we'll thrive, is what she's thinking. So at first I was like a little startled by it, but then I started to think about it and sitting with it. If that's the gift today or whatever becomes the gift, I think it's kind of romantic.
Well, I will tell you this. I have some personal experience with this. When my dad passed away and we were all just totally destroyed.
Yeah.
They are not above. They said to us, I'm sure you want to get the plot next to you. Your dad for your mom, who was with me.
Right.
It's a horrible sell at that time.
Yes.
But maybe now.
Well, a couple of things. One, in this case, you're buying it from an authorized, from someone who has it for a family. You get it at that price. Now, you don't want to hear this because it's quite a bummer. But property values on like plots go up a lot.
What?
Over time. Yeah. It's like rent. Like you can get it at a certain price, but you still have to pay.
So, heaven forbid you guys aren't together forever. She could sell this in 30 years.
Well, that's what these people
make
are doing.
And make a ton of money because she doesn't want to be buried by you.
Right.
Right?
Because she hates you at that point.
Right?
That's in Allie's scenario.
That's what I'm saying.
She should sell it to like a Nazi or something to really get me back. No, but it's the thing. Like I feel like at first, as I said, was whoa. And then now I think it's so... Like,
I think
it's such a loving thing. And it's very positive for our relationship.
Yes.
She knows we'll be together forever, which I believe. And now
forever.
Well,
we all believe it in our first year. don't be a dumbass.
Kevin, don't fade it out. Don't fade it out.
Don't fade it?
No, I want people to wake up to disaster. These are aliens. I'm an alien. Wake up.
It's loud. Very loud.
It is. It is, kid. It's loud. Louis Anderson next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget, 9 a.m., more Vampire Weekend tickets for you to see the band at the Hollywood Bowl and qualify to see them in Spain. K-Rock Wheels Up 2019 Destination Refi right now. Allie, happy Valentine's Day to you. What's going on?
Well, thank you, Bean. Gender reveals. We hate them, right?
Stop it.
Well, Amy Schumer isn't really into gender reveals at all, but she does let us know what she would be upset with in terms of her unborn child.
What I wanted to announce was the baby's gender, which we're so excited to say that we don't care what the gender is. However the baby identifies is fine. Whatever the baby's sexuality is, any way the baby identifies is cool with us, as long as it doesn't identify as a DJ, because that's heartbreaking.
That's hurtful.
I laughed so hard at that.
That's hurtful.
That's fantastic.
But the best part is not only A, playing it on the show, but B, that DJ Omar Khan had to pull that clip too. So it could be a radio DJ, could be somebody that DJs as well like he does. It's just, it's all encompassing. And it brought me great joy.
Well, especially radio. I mean, look, what Omar does is a real skill. The way he mixes and everything like that. I mean, he's great at what he does. Our job is the lowest form of entertainment. You can't, there's nothing lower in entertainment than radio. So Amy Schumer's not wrong.
Wow.
I'm with that guy.
Yeah. I mean, she's referencing like fedora wearing.
Yeah, she means the like, DJ Omar Khan's of the world. Is
no,
what she means.
No.
Not Omar specifically, but that genre of DJ.
She means like Ibiza. Like, yes, she means sure, like yeah. She means like the Sunday daytime Vegas party.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Not Omar. He's a legend.
No, Omar's amazing, but I'm saying that DJ versus a DJ on the radio is what she was referencing.
Right. Jensen is very quick to point out, "Oh no, not us radio guys." That's not what she's talking about.
That's not what she meant. But she did mean like
No, we're douchebags for total different reasons.
Yeah, for sure. So, you guys, I read this and I thought, oh, no, this is bad. This is bad. I don't like it. When you hear this, that a petition has been put in place to stop Cardi B from performing at the 2019 Houston Live Shock Show and Rodeo, don't you get nervous? Like, oh, no. Is it like...
Yeah, bitch.
Is it racist? Like, why do they not want her out there? What's it all about?
She doesn't know the rodeo world.
Well, it turns out it's due to the treatment of animals. Hmm. So the petition lists a number of rodeo activities that the petitioner considers abusive to animals. And here's where my second, oh no, came in when I read it. Including an event called the Calf Scramble. I'm like, no, that sounds awful. Oh, wait, calves are set loose and chased by children. Very different than what I was thinking with the calf scramble. But they said that Cardi B herself is an animal lover, which is why they're asking for her to stand up for these poor animals and cancel her performance at the rodeo. I'm telling you right now, 2019 Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, I would travel to see Cardi B there. That sounds fantastic.
Doesn't seem like a good booking for
it's
that.
Weird. It's
no,
a
that's
weird
an odd
fit.
Choice.
Was Blake Shelton not available?
I don't know. The event is scheduled to take place on March 1st, so I'll keep you posted. Remember on Monday when I said that Cardi B has deleted her Instagram? She deactivated it because people were mean to her surrounding her Grammy win for Best Rap Album. And I said, she'll be back on tomorrow. She's back. So she was back on yesterday and announced her upcoming single with Bruno Mars. And she wrote, okay, so I'm back from retirement to announce I have a brand new song coming out Friday at midnight with Bruno Mars. So not a long stay away.
No.
right there.
That'll be a good song. Yeah, well. Just letting you know.
Yeah, it will.
You being serious?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like both of them.
I do too. Certain people don't, however.
They're wrong.
Okay. I can hear you guys. I'm right here.
Oh.
None of this makes sense to me, but I think I'm down for it. Warner Brothers is teaming up with DC and Nickelodeon for a crossover film based on Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic book series. What?
Hmm?
It's going to be called Batman versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's the film finding the heroes in a half shell, shrugging off Shredder to square off against a new slew of notable Batman villains.
That's a terrible idea.
It's going to be animated, but some of the voices, by the way, Robin and Batgirl will be involved as well. So not just the Ninja Turtles and Batman, but Robin and Batgirl. Playing Batgirl, the voice of Rachel Bloom from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
All right.
Okay. Darren Criss.
Sometimes I feel like your head is a little oven that only bakes bad ideas.
Darren Criss will play a voice, and Kyle Mooney will have a voice role as
that
well.
That sounds unnecessary.
Okay, well, I'm just wanted to tell you about it in case you were interested.
I hate your idea.
Okay, well, it's not mine. Like I said, it's Warner Brothers, DC, and Nickelodeon that are teaming up.
How could you like that idea? It's a terrible idea.
Again, I didn't say I liked it. I'm just
nothing
letting
about
you know.
That idea is good.
Okay, sorry about that. So, you guys, Valentine's
Beat it.
Valentine's Day. Today. You would think a lot of people, at the end of the night, the perfect Valentine's way to end the night, right?
Sleep, right?
Right after
sex is well.
Oh, you know what? I wasn't even thinking about that. But okay, yeah. Okay. I see where you're going. Okay.
Well, you're fitting into this poll real nicely, Bean, because they polled 2,000 adults and found just 25% say the perfect Valentine's night ends in sex. Only 25% said the perfect night ends in sex. Most men said they'd like to get a drink, a meal, and a little bit of sex, while most women said they'd like to get some takeout and enjoy a little wine. This is real sad.
It's not sad, because if Valentine's Day is every day at your house,
sure.
Like it is for many of us,
right.
She's still exhausted from the 11th, from the 12th, from the 13th. What does she have left for the 14th?
Kevin, while you were gone,
yes.
Bean said something that made all of our ears perk up.
Please.
When he said, it's a ridiculous holiday. I mean, we men wind up spending all of the money. That's what this is about. It's about men giving the gifts. And we all went, this is what it stems from.
Well, it's not a couple's holiday. That was my point.
You never got a gift back. That's what it stems from. He's mad.
He never got a gift back.
Is that what it is, Bean?
That's what it is.
No, that's not what it is.
Easily that's what it is.
Easily.
Otherwise, you wouldn't think it's only one way.
It wouldn't be such a big deal.
Yeah.
I don't care about gifts, honestly. As you guys know, I don't care about gifts.
Right, but when you say that it's one way,
right.
That means you've never had it both ways.
Because I'm looking out for my dudes. Look, I'm the voice of the voiceless here, you guys.
Come on.
I'm looking out for my dudes.
I am looking out for my dudes.
Okay.
They hear me.
I don't
think. They know what's up.
Nobody does.
Okay.
Some birthdays for you. Freddie Highmore, Simon Pegg, Rob Thomas, Meg Tilly, Teller, and Pat O'Brien.
Great piece, my man.
Thank you very much.
You nailed it.
I usually do it. Thank you, man.
Nailed it.
Really, I appreciate that, Derek. Thanks, my man.
My man.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
He's an outstanding broadcaster.
Did you edit that?
I did not.
Oh, my God.
He really said, usually do.
But it's not about the over and over again?
No, it's about his response. No, do it again
play
because
it again.
Of the nailed it.
I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Great piece, my man.
Thank you very much.
You nailed it.
Yeah, I usually do it. Thank you, man.
Nailed it.
Really, I appreciate that, Derek. Thanks, my man.
My man.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
It's over and over again.
It's very insane, but the part where he says, yeah, usually do.
Yeah, usually do.
Like, wow.
By the way, having said that, he usually did.
Right.
Accurate, but just, you don't really want to hear him say it.
Not that one night.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
All right, Allie, you got to promise not to weep with joy.
I know. I just get so happy.
I know. You love. You can't help how much you love.
It's true.
Our friend Louis Anderson, you guys, legendary comedian, back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. He is going to be appearing next Sunday, February 24th at 7 at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. Tickets are on sale now, comedyandmagicclub.com. Louis, how are you, sir?
Good morning, don't we, Valley?
I won't. Hi, Louie.
And to you as well. Hey, I just saw on your Twitter page that you were in Atlanta same time as us over the Super Bowl. Did you go out there because the Rams were in the big game or what?
Well, FX has been so nice that they provided me with a couple of tickets and so I took my brother. I took my brother to the Super Bowl, and it was his very first football game, believe it or not.
Pretty dull
and
game.
So, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's, I didn't want him to get too excited. In person, I thought the first half was good myself, but it was dull. But I anytime that the Rams had a chance to win, I was rooting for them, so.
Sure, right. Sure. How did the halftime show play to you as a person who's in the stadium? Because we talked a lot after the game about how boring it was for us, the TV viewer. Did it play better in person, Louie?
I think so. I mean, you know, like, I thought there were some really good effects in that. You know, if you know, I think it always plays a certain way, those kind of things. I think, for me, I thought the highlight of the entertainment was Gladys Knight. I could not believe that Gladys Knight with that belt. I mean, she crushed it.
Yeah, she did.
I don't think people realize how hard that is. First of all, to do, because you got nothing. You know, you're just, it's you. You screw up.
Yep.
On the main, you know, on the big song, and then I. Maroon 5's a good band. It's not my band.
No.
So, you know, and then, you know, I took my shirt off, too, when he took his off. And I thought,
you have the same cats, right?
I thought I got a really good reaction comparatively. Yeah. You know, Louis. I thought people liked him, but they went, oh, my God, get a picture of that. Look at that. Yes, I have the same tattoo.
Sure.
But backwards. And,
You've been in show business a very long time, as we know, Louie. Have you ever sung in any of the act that you've done?
Yes.
Yes. Really?
I do a couple of different little songs during my show.
Oh, how about that?
It's one of the things people don't expect.
That's fantastic.
I mean,
yes.
What are they? Anything usable on the radio?
Yeah. Come on, baby, let my fire.
Fire. Well, we just sold 100 tickets.
Yeah, we did.
Here's how you do it. Here's how the joke goes.
Okay.
You don't really taste Krispy Kreme till the third donut. Then you're in a sugar haze. Come on, baby, let my fire.
Louie is at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach next Sunday, the 20th. What, huh?
There's more to the joke.
Oh, I thought that was it. I'm sorry.
No, there is, but it was over.
Okay. All right. Good.
The 24th.
How bad did it sound?
No, not at all.
It was
Comedy Magic Club. Kevin told me before you got on the phone that you have been playing the Comedy and Magic Club since 1982, Louie.
Right. Yes. Back in those days. We used to take a buggy down there. You know, if the horse was feeling good, we would clop down and hold on there up at the drive through. It was like one of my safe haven things, and we'd do it a lot of times on Sunday night. You know, it was kind of like, I think I'll go down to Comedy Magic Club, and it's just it's a very tight, group of people, really, really well-run comedy club. It's kind of like, I'd say you had to have a clean act, you know, it's known for that.
Okay.
And it's almost like a history museum on comedy and magic when you go in there. I don't know if you guys have been in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just so much fun. I just killed it down there. And then you would you just couldn't believe how far it was in the traffic. That was the only drag. That going
yeah, you
got
to leave right after this interview to get down there.
Mike, you know, Mike, that was good. Come on, baby. Ride, ride, ride.
All right, Louis, I have a question for you, and I don't want to bring up something that I shouldn't. Did you find Splash, the celebrity dancing show, funny?
Diving show.
Diving show.
Dancing. Sorry. No, there's a...
The diving show.
Loved it.
You did? Okay. Fun.
Good, because we love it.
Here's the thing. When they said it, my manager at the time brings me this iPad that he carried with to show me stuff that he wasn't sure I'd like.
Right.
So he could, you know, have... He goes, what do you think of this? And I saw it, and it was the original one done in the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where it was invented. And all these divers, and there's the host. I go, huh? And then they have Fat Guy on it. And I go, he goes, do you want to do it? I go, yes. I can't wait to do it. I can't wait to. I got to learn how to swim.
That's insane.
You know, I didn't really know how to swim. I'll be honest with you. I never was swimming.
Oh, you mean for real you didn't know how to swim?
No.
Wow.
And then we did like 5 or 6 weeks in the over there at the Rose Bowl. The you know, what do they call those things? The Aquatinia, Spiritunio. Mm-hmm. Anyways, where the big pool was.
Right.
And we worked for weeks over there, and I almost drowned. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, I did not know that.
No,
that makes it less funny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so. You dive into 17 feet of water.
Right.
Okay? And you're up. I would think I was up on the 5 meter at that point. My big chore was getting up on the 5 meter, not diving.
I was glad
not to take the stairs down.
Which was the one that you sat on the end of the plank facing away from the water and just sort of fell over backwards?
Oh, is that how you looked at it? I mean, when's the last time you did a backward dive?
That was my favorite. That was my favorite.
Are you kidding me? Just sort of, Jesus, the contempt in your voice. It's unbelievable.
You're not wrong, Louis.
And then he sat on the plank and just kind of, he let the centrifugal force, he was waiting for a wind to take him.
I mean, technically, that's correct.
And then just kind of gave up, and then fell over.
Oh, I love him so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why.
It's exactly true. When I saw it recently, and I go, oh, my God, what is that? What are you doing?
I watch it once a week.
We're out of time, Louis. But you have just proven once again in this phone call why you are a comedy legend.
What's that?
He's singing again.
And an Emmy winner. Louis Anderson at the Comedy and Magic Club next Sunday, the 24th at 7. Tickets are just $25 to see the man in person. ComedyandMagicClub.com, 18 and over. Louis, you're welcome on the Kevin and Bean Show anytime. You know that. Thank you for the
all
time
right.
today.
I love you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Allie! What's happening?
Man.
Seriously, though, I just want to know what's happening.
Help the lady out, Allie.
I will, indeed. You guys, it's Valentine's Day, so every hour... I know. Every hour I've been giving you a little, you know, little story about love, if you will. Mostly not great ones. All about how people want sex on Valentine's Day, except, you know, women just want takeout food and no sex. And then I did one, don't get swindled on Valentine's Day, because that's when you get swindled. Just a whole thing.
Good times.
But this is a really interesting study. They looked at 2,000 U.S. adults in relationships, and they found out an average time where relationships tended to reach the comfort zone. So when you're finally able to show that person your quirks and your real true self, how much time into a relationship would you think that would be?
Now, are we talking about standard letting your guard down?
Or yeah, are we talking about farting?
Or when you're ready to fart in front of
I think it's all of that, because that's even in the rest of the story.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'd say 4 months.
Four months?
I'll say $1.
No, in terms of like months or years?
7 months.
7 months, okay.
I don't know, but I know that it is more than 27 years because I'm not there yet.
You still peeing with the door closed, Pete?
Yep, okay. I sure am.
All right. They found that it takes an average of 7.5 months for a relationship to reach the comfort zone. Way to go, Jensen.
I mean, it also depends on how regularly you see them early.
For sure.
You know.
Sure.
And also what the thing is that you're keeping from them in the early dates. Like, I mean, it's one thing
like
to find
nipple.
Out you dye right? your hair or have a third nipple. It's another thing that there's a kill room in the basement.
Right.
You know
yes.
what I mean?
Right.
Serial killer.
That you have
point.
Another wife in Utah.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It depends on what the thing is.
Well, the biggest signs that you've entered the zone is allowing your significant other to take care of you when you're sick. For women, not wearing makeup and not shaving your legs. And for men, not shaving their face. The couples also revealed that it takes an average of 4 months and 17 days to first have sex.
What? How much? 4 months?
4 months and 17 days to first have sex. That's
that's healthier than I would have expected.
Way
they do
healthier.
Not know our listeners.
No. No, I'm like maybe 4 dates tops, but maybe those are 4 dates spread out over 4 months.
Yeah, they're very busy people.
Yeah, very busy. Very busy. That was crazy to me. Also, it takes an average of 5 months to sit in silence without things being awkward. How long did it take you and Danielle? Because she likes her some silence.
To like start talking up, you mean? Like to
or no,
feel comfortable?
To like be able to sit and not say anything.
Not there yet, no.
Not say anything?
No, we do that every single
time. All
day.
The time,
that's
right?
all we do.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for the time where we just talk all the time.
Yeah.
We love silence. It's the best. That's how you know you're supposed to be with someone.
For sure. If it's comfortable and it's not weird.
That's right.
Or that you're already out of things to say to your wife.
How dare you?
Your what?
Your wife.
My wife.
I'm good at impressions. I'm really good at
impressions. That was half-hearted at best.
Good Lord. And Bean, you do not use the bathroom with the door open?
No, I'm not an animal.
No. Okay, well, that takes on average 6 months and 24 days to use the bathroom with the door open.
Wait, two or one?
It doesn't say, but I would
one,
assume.
I'll
how could it
open.
Not say?
One, I'll
that
leave it open.
It seems very important.
I would never leave it open even for a one.
Really?
I go to a different floor of the house to pee.
No.
You drive
not
down
a joke.
You drive to a local Starbucks.
not a joke. And when I see on TV and in movies, I see somebody's in the shower and then their partner comes in and takes a big poop. I can't believe that works.
That's
I can't believe that
me.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, not for me.
I get maybe I'm different. In one of my apartments when I was in college, it was 7 girls, 1 bathroom.
Wow.
So when someone was showering, then there's a girl in there that's blow drying her hair, then another girl is in there taking a poop. You just do.
And that's the girl in the shower?
No. Hopefully not. Hopefully not. But honestly, these chicks. It got weird in that place. That's all I'm saying. And by the way, in Boston, that place had no air conditioning.
Right.
That was hell, right? I lived in a hellish
place. It sounds like a hellhole, yeah.
Yeah. It was fun. Some of the best days of my life, you guys, right there.
Why were there 7 girls for 1 bathroom?
Because it was like a floor share?
It was a...
like a sorority house or something?
Yeah, but not a sorority house, but it was 5 bedrooms and 1 bathroom.
Wow.
Yeah.
My freshman year, we had that where we had to walk down the hall to get to the bathroom, and it was co-ed. Everyone had to share the same bathroom. And I would, from my shower, I would walk with a big robe and a bubble pipe.
Yeah, you would.
Walk down the hallway.
Such a weirdo.
And never talk about it.
No, no. That was just normal for you.
Yeah.
People that knew you then think you still do that.
Yeah, they just didn't know. People would laugh and I wouldn't laugh back.
Nice. I dig it. Let's talk about some birthdays, you guys. Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20. This life ain't good.
I mean, technically, that's not Matchbox 20, but...
No.
It is him.
It's soul is.
Yeah.
Right.
I mentioned earlier this morning, off the air, that I have seen Matchbox 20 three times.
Uh-huh.
And Kevin's response was, you realize you said three times, right? And I do realize it, and I'm going to tell you right now, they were great.
Were they opening for somebody that you went to the venue to see?
No, they were the headliners for sure. Yeah.
Did they pay you to go?
Nope, I actually paid for a ticket to see them.
Huh. Was it a make-a-wish situation with a friend of yours that had to see them? No.
No, I went online and bought
tickets. Are you sure it wasn't a bar with just karaoke and he went up?
You know what it might have been.
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's a cover charge you paid.
Yeah, might have been a cover, yeah.
Yeah, he's probably running the karaoke night.
I hate you all. Really good. And happy birthday to Simon Pegg, Freddie Highmore, and Pat O'Brien.
Yeah.
So excited about talking to Dr. Drew right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I found out he's on Cameo. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, this is my wife's thing. I'm into it.
Oh. Cameo, we talked about it on the show a few weeks ago, right, Jensen? It's the thing where you put up $5, $10, $50, $100, whatever it is.
Dr. Drew's worth way more than that.
Sure, I can't wait to find out what Dr. Drew's charging. They will record a message for you for like a birthday party or graduation or something like that. What kinds of stuff have people been asking for, Doctor?
That kind of stuff. It's Valentine's Day and birthday parties and, you know, white elephant Valentine's Day parties and whatever. Wedding, you know, like they're going to put a montage together at a wedding.
Oh, okay.
That's
so weird.
Why are people using you to break the news to their significant other that they have an STD or something? I mean, you're a doctor, for God's sakes. Use you appropriately.
You've just expanded the role I might play.
Yes.
I tell you, it actually makes me angry. It really makes me angry because I have to work. You can't imagine how hard it is as a physician to make about $60. You have to have staff. You have to have a place you rent. You have to pay malpractice. You have
right.
to have the licensing fees and professional fees. And Medicare pays you about $60 for every 15 minutes. And it's very high level with high liability. And on Cameo, you get $100 for 30 seconds. It's ridiculous.
So it's wasted disturbing. All that time and money to go to medical school.
Oh, my God. It's disturbing. But okay.
How many times?
Here we are. It's the market.
How many times have you done it?
I don't even know. 20?
Wow.
Oh. Well, be looking for some Kevin and Bean bucks. They're coming your way.
Do you want to know how much?
Yeah.
Yeah.
$125.
Drew. Underpriced.
Yeah. I'm going to pay it. I'm going to pay it.
Listen, my wife is, she's standing right here looking at me. She is the brain behind it. No, she changes the price periodically, and that's her thing. I just do what I'm told.
Well,
all right.
Andy Dick was the one that informed her of how great this is. So,
he's very good on it, Drew. He has a slide whistle.
Oh my God.
You need some props. You need some props.
It's so disturbing. Yeah. It's so disturbing. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, so we don't waste all of your time promoting your Cameo account. I saw a fascinating tweet to you about a topic that I am very much interested in because cancer, I guess we know, and you pointed out on the show before, Doctor, means a lot of different kinds of cancer. There are hundreds of them, right? And there's a lot we don't know about it. We're learning more and more about it all the time. And you had somebody tweet you from the Genomics Association or something. Thank you, Dr. Drew, for the great discussion on cancer genomics on your show today. Science is advancing so fast. In the next 5 years, we may live in a world where each person knows the precise diet and lifestyle choices that minimize the risk of cancer based on their DNA. This was a light bulb for me because I didn't know anything like this was even being pursued. What can you tell us about it?
Oh, it's fantastic. Well, let me dial it back a little bit. I've been advocating for really everyone, particularly middle-aged people, particularly anybody with any cancer risk in their family. Go to a website called color.com, and there I have no interest in that company. It's not a promotion for them, but I myself went there and got tested. It's like $200, the spit test. And lo and behold, I kind of hunched that I may have had some problem with my genetics, and it turns out I have a DNA repair abnormality called Lynch syndrome, MSH6, that puts me at high risk for stomach and colon cancer. So now it changes how I'm screened. So I get upper endoscopies and colonoscopies every year. It also meant, and so they tested my kids. Lo and behold, my two sons carry this gene. So they had to start getting these screenings done at age 25.
Wow.
And by doing so, they will dramatically reduce their risk of these things ever being a problem. And, you know, we know about the BRCA gene, right, for breast cancer?
Yes.
We now have the same thing for other or similar things for other cancers and heart disease. And since I've been advocating this, the field of genomics has sort of exploded to the point now where things are becoming highly individualized, where we will be able to tell you, you know, there's so much confusion about diet. Well, the reason there's so much confusion is everyone responds to these diets differently. Everyone responds to different workouts differently. We'll be able to dial in the diet to your genetics that will keep you, say, leanest, reduce your risk of heart disease, and reduce your risk of cancer.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
That is amazing. So forgive me if this is a stupid question, but there are lots of different things that can cause cancer. In other words, you can have this genetic predisposition for it, but you can also get it, lung cancer from smoking or something like that.
It's like a nature versus nurture, you're saying.
Right. Is food
and everything in human biology is gene environment interaction, right? And so part of the genomics that we'll be able to say is, look, hey, you may be one of these people. One of the things they already have, for instance, is you're one of these people that if you use alcohol, you will increase your risk of breast cancer.
Wow.
You actually have a gene where that will be the case. And so these kinds of things are going to be highly, highly specific, and we're going to have similar sorts of spectrums of genetic, let's call it menus, for treatment. Who responds to the different kinds of treatment? Because we'll know very specifically what the biology is.
So everybody is going to have a different food and drink and exercise regimen based on some prescription for their specific DNA.
One day. Your mouth to God's ears. I think if I were starting out medicine, I'd be an oncologist, because this has made the field so exciting, both on the therapeutic side and on the prevention side.
Drew, wow. I have a question that has obviously popped in my mind many times. When I walk into a parking garage or a building that has one of those signs warning me that inside there might be chemicals that give me cancer, I literally look at it and ignore it like it doesn't exist. Should I be looking at these things?
I mean, that's kind of a loaded question. I think more than anything, they're treating attorneys when they do that, right? If there were really a risk, they wouldn't let you in there. But I certainly wouldn't hang out in there. I think about
Jensen
that. You know what
loves
I mean?
Jensen
loves a good parking garage.
I have
garage.
One of those warnings right in front of my bedroom.
Oh, but your wife put it up.
Warning.
Nightmare.
All right. Well, this is very, very encouraging. Where can people, if you know off the top of your head, Dr. Drew, where can people go to find out more information besides the color.com that you mentioned?
Yeah, color.com for sure. Just look up genomics. I mean, I just, before I went in the air, I looked around, and there's a bunch of companies now that are doing this. You can look at that tweet that came to me, and that company looked great, and the guy that I spoke to on ABC was very knowledgeable. And there are even fitness genes tests, and there's all kinds of stuff out there. Let's just say it's evolving, but the next 2 to 3 years can be very exciting.
All I know is you get a colonoscopy every year. Talk about a luck out, right? I mean,
I know, it's nice.
That's jealous.
Dr. Drew does it twice a year.
Dr. Drew, Midday Live, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 on 790 KABC, because all the good shows are on AM. Go to drdrew.com.
What? New show, Dr. Drew After Dark, with Tom Segura at your mom's house.
Okay, I was getting to that, but thank you, Doctor, for the interruption.
Sorry.
Dr. Drew live appearances at all of his podcasts, including the Swole Patrol, Adam and Dr. Drew Show, Dr. Drew Podcast, and the new Dr. Drew After Dark with Tom Segura, available at drdrew.com, and download the Heal app in the App Store or Google Play to see a doctor now in the comfort of your own home. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Want to do something special for your woman on Valentine's Day?
Hmm.
Examine yourself for testicular cancer.
Oh, what?
Why give a diamond when you can give the family jewels?
Oh.
CBS Cares.
That sounds like a very sexy one.
How do you wrap that?
It's tough, yeah.
I just don't see how you convince her that that's a gift for her. I really don't. I know I'm over here playing with my balls, but it's really for you, honey.
That is the real gaslighting.
But CBS Cares, apparently. You
sure.
Guys. All right. It's 9:39, time for a final look at what's happening here on this Valentine's Day Thursday. Take it away, Allie.
So remember when we found out that Alfonso Ribeiro was suing the creators of Fortnite as well as the creators of NBA 2K?
Yep.
Because they ripped off his Carlton dance without his permission. Besides the fact that he had never tried to copyright the dance in the 27 years since it first appeared on Fresh Prince. And despite the fact that he had said on camera that the dance was inspired by Courtney Cox up on the stage with
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. Don't help her, Jensen.
All right.
And also a clip of Eddie Murphy. So it was kind of inspired by a meld of them two together. Well, things aren't looking good for Alfonso Ribeiro.
That's something that's said a lot.
A registration specialist for the U.S. Copyright Office told his attorney that the actor's bid to lock down the rights to the dance is being denied.
So you get
Zippo, nada.
The copyright pro said Alfonso's moves amount to nothing more than a, quote, simple dance routine. And then it's like he just wanted to pile on. The expert broke down the dance step by step, saying the combination of these three dance steps is a simple routine that's just not registrable as a choreographic work. Damn. He basically was like, Carlton Dance ain't S. Nope, denied.
It's more of a hell no than it is just a no.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we get it. It's not going to, you know.
I'm not sure there's any precedent either where someone like won a huge lawsuit for mimicking a dance.
I was trying to think if there are any dances that are copyrighted.
I would think the moonwalk, no?
No, I mean, a lot of people did it.
A lot of people did it.
The only ones I could ever think of, and I'm not sure if this is the case, but like something like The Twist, mm-hmm. where like the lyrics are the song.
Yeah.
But it still wouldn't stop you from doing it.
Or making money off of it.
Well, still,
that's, I think, what this is about. They're making money off of it, Fortnite and NBA 2K.
But like people Usher did the moonwalk and made money off it.
But that was in like a performance. Yeah. It wasn't in an ad. Or in a game.
Maybe.
Hmm.
I don't know.
What about Backpack Kid? That's got to be copied.
Well, he tried to sue it for Fortnite, but I don't know. I don't know. We got to see. That's what I'm saying. I don't think there's any precedent.
Hmm.
It's interesting. Hey, what's about the Soldier Boy dance?
But that would be because it's in the lyrics.
The Superman?
Well, it's not really. Superman. It's not really in the lyrics. But again, I don't know if any. My opinion is that none of this stuff should be. I think. You should be able to dance.
There is only one move that should be copywritten because they shouldn't make money off of it because it is, it's to me, one of the greatest pieces of art when it comes to the human body. And I think any Seinfeld fan would agree.
The Elaine?
Elaine.
She stole that from every white person, though. That's not her dance.
That might be true.
You should be able to dance wherever you want. This isn't Footloose. You know what I mean? Like, everyone should be, you should be free to do it. That's a hot take.
This isn't Footloose.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right. Good stuff, you guys. Hey, Tiffany Haddish revealed that Drake's dad once slid into her DMs. What? What? What?
Hmm.
First of all, Drake did as well, slid into her DMs. She saw him a few days later, and he said, "Yo, you didn't respond to my DMs." And I was like, "Well, I don't even know that you follow me." Turns out he wanted her to be in his music video, so then that was fine, blah, blah, blah. And then she thought to herself, "Oh, maybe something might happen, you know?" And I was like, "Are you going to take me to dinner?" He said, "Yeah, we could eat dinner." And then I never heard from him again. Which made me laugh. And then a little bit later down the line, his dad slid into her DMs.
Why
and
didn't Tiffany call in and you hooked up with somebody and his parents?
I'm saying. Well, she turned him down. But she did say, his dad hit me up and I turned him down, but I might have ended up being Drake's stepmama. Can you imagine?
He's a dapper man.
Drake's dad, yeah. Is he?
Isn't Tiffany Haddish much closer to Drake's age than she would be to his father?
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Are you new to men?
No, I just, okay, fair enough.
Also, who's playa hating up there?
That's what I'm saying. Let the man slide, right?
Damn it!
I mean, Bean, come on.
Come on, man.
All right, I'm sorry.
Narc over there.
Right?
You're too old. Get away.
I don't care how dapper he is.
Are you the man who owes me $40?
Always comes back to that.
It always does.
When we were in Atlanta, I'm not going to lie, I kept my eyes open just in case we ran into that son of a bitch.
Oh, Liam Neeson over there.
Yep.
You mean the guy that did that in New Orleans?
Yes. I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm a mark now.
He's telling
all of his friends. Oh, that old white dude, he's easy.
It sounds racist.
Hit him. Well, it was racist. Hit him up. He'd look at me like easy target because he got me. Because all of his friends can get me too.
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
One day, guys. One day.
He's like Steven Seagal.
Yeah, I was going to let it just keep going because, wow. Bean. Asshole.
Come on.
Seriously. You got to let it go.
I mean, at some point.
Well,
how long has it been? Like 6 months?
No.
No, it's been
like
about
a couple of years?
About a month.
It seems like a couple of years.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
All right, sorry. When you wake up in the morning, do you know how many days have passed since you went to sleep?
How dare you? No.
Yeah, it's been about a month, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's incurring interest. You need some dough.
Back to you, Allie.
I don't know. I'm kind of interested in hearing how this plays out. You still just sit outside, though, on your porch waiting?
I sure do.
And
with my nunchucks.
Do you see his truck, though? The one that he said was his work truck?
Never.
Have you ever asked your neighbor if that man works at their house?
I have not. I have been keeping
You're
my eyes
peeled. Terrible detective.
No, no, no. Yes. I'm not going to go and knock on the neighbor's door with this, but I do have the man's picture on my phone from my Ring. And the next time I see my neighbor,
black person, I'm going to walk up and say, "Do you know this guy?"
No. Next time I see my neighbor, I am going to show her that picture and I'm going to say, "Does this guy work for you? Does he look familiar? Have you seen him around?"
I have a concern slash theory. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Remember who told you they had seen that man working in your neighbor's yard?
It was Mrs. Baxter.
Mm-hmm. Could it be an inside job?
Whoa. Sweet.
The scam is coming from inside the house.
Yes. Donna.
That would be awesome.
But why would she need to scam me of $40? Because we're married, though. She already has access to my $40.
Do you not understand fun?
Kevin immediately said fun.
I mean, honestly, why would she want to do that?
Why else?
So what did she do? Did she put an ad on Craigslist? Hey, I need somebody to come and knock on the door and invent a story.
If so, I respect her.
Oh, you think that's the first time she's posted for someone on Craigslist?
Well, maybe not.
I'm really going to regret bringing this up.
This is just getting worse.
Not for us. I can't believe there's a full-run scam out of your house.
Yes.
That's crazy.
That's pretty strong.
We need to talk to Donna tomorrow.
If she'll even come on.
She needs to come clean, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I love this so much.
You know why? She left the country with my $40.
$40 put her over the top. She had just enough.
That's right.
Oh, sweet Lord, that is funny. All right. Happy birthday to Rob Thomas, Simon Pegg, Freddie Highmore, Pat O'Brien, Teller, Meg Tilly, and Jake Weary from Animal Kingdom, you guys.
All right. When's that coming back?
Soon.
Pretty soon. Pretty soon.
A lot of info from us.
Yeah. They're starting to run the teaser trailers.
Yeah, I've seen.
So I just haven't seen a date yet.
All right.
You guys saw the Killing Eve trailer.
Yes.
Today for season two.
Can't wait.
That is back April 7th. I know that because, good Lord.
If you haven't seen the first season of Killing Eve, go back and go ahead and watch that.
Best show of the year.
Pretty great.
I mean, besides Barry. I love Barry, too. And Better Things.
Show.
Better Things was a great
season. There's too
much TV. As well, and basketball. a lot of good TV. That's what's happening.
Yeah, it sure is. Hey, don't judge this segment. Earlier in the show, we had a lot of really entertaining stuff. And if you missed any moment of it, you might want to check it out on the Kevin and Bean podcast, which is available at radio.com, on iTunes, through the Kevin and Bean website or K-Rock website. And also, I should mention that there is a new episode of the B-Team available today, too. A Valentine's Day episode.
They're on fire.
Dave, first of all, is Allie on this one? Allie has been aching to be a guest on the B-Team.
Yeah, they've canceled on me twice.
Oh.
So did you interview her for this one, Dave?
Was I on this one, Dave?
Not on this one.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Not this one. Okay.
And you say that you discussed the time when I had a female prison pen pal. What can you tell us about that?
What?
Oh, who knew? Who knew you were such the writer?
Huh?
Well done, Dave.
Writer.
Well done.
Who knew you were such the writer?
Not Lothario.
Get it? Write her.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you, King of Mexico, for the decline of Western civilization.
Correct. Okay. So I had a prison pen pal, apparently. So check it out on the B-Team podcast, same location.
On your drive home tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We got a brand-new internet roundup. We've got, if you're an Uber driver, you have to have horror stories as well.
Absolutely.
So we're going to ask you to call in tomorrow. It's Keep It 100 because it's Friday. And one of our favorites, Nick Frost, who's in a new movie with The Rock called Fighting With My...